Open your Bibles with me this morning, if you will, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Start reading together in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought that Pilate, that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first of the other which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another Scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, and as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There they laid Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Oh, my. Mm-mm. Well, look with me again in John's Gospel, chapter 19. And look with me again in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. I get the title of my message there in verse 30, where it is finished. It is finished. And I want you to consider the mind and look at the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the last moments of his life, right before he dies. He's just right on the verge of dying. He said, It is finished, and then he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. He's in just the last few moments. Most people in the last moments of their life, they're very troubled in their mind. Maybe they have a lot of pain. Maybe they're afraid of death. They can't collect their thoughts or speak to those that they could be understood by others. But our blessed Redeemer here, his mind is clear. His memory is perfect. Perfect. He said, knowing that the Scriptures were now accomplished. All things were now accomplished. He knew that. His mind was crystal clear. His memory was perfect. His last acts were such full of wisdom and prudence, even though his sufferings were without measure. But when he declared, it is finished, when he declared, it is finished, in his mind, his Father's glory, the salvation of his sheep, were foremost in his mind. I believe that. Even though he was suffering, his mind was clear when he said, it is finished. It is finished. When he said that, every purpose, the purpose of God, was carried out. The promises of God were fulfilled in him. The prophecies were all fulfilled in Him. Every ceremony, every sacrifice, every covenant, all the eternal glories were fixed clearly in His mind at this awful hour when our Lord Jesus Christ was there. And He knew that all of these things, the prophecies, the purpose, the ceremonies, the sacrifices, the covenants, were all comprehended in Him. He knew that. And all of this, when He's nailed to a cross, and while His enemies mocked Him, cursed Him, spat at Him, ridiculed Him, cursed Him, there was a huge crowd around the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And His mind was so clear that He had a conversation with His mother and John right before He said these things. Had a conversation with them. And at this moment of time on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ beheld all of God's revelation. Beheld all of God's revelation from the beginning to the ending. And He cried, "It is finished." And our blessed Savior, by the worth of His person, how valuable, how worthy, how glorious is our Savior. By our blessed Savior, by the worth of His person, endured in 6 hours on the cross, by His suffering and the agony He endured, He suffered our everlasting punishment and our everlasting death. He suffered everything that was against us in 6 hours on the cross. All that God would have made us suffer for eternity, our Lord suffered it in 6 hours. How can one man suffer so much for so many in such a short space of time because of who it was that suffered? Who He was. Our Lord's sufferings cannot be measured by finite minds. But there's a couple of things I do know about His sufferings. I do know that when He was on that cross, and when He said, "It is finished," He took away what causes our eternal punishment, and that's sin. He put that away. The thing that would have caused us a second death and would cause God to damn us forever, He took it away, and that was sin. I do know that. And I also know this, that what He suffered on the cross was accepted by God for all whom He died. For every soul for whom Christ died, what He did on that cross was accepted by God. Right? So when He said, "It is finished," what was comprehended in this statement? What was comprehended? And I hope that God will enable us to grasp just a little of it and understand just a little of it. But you know, the Old Testament is full of types of our Lord Jesus Christ, full of types of salvation. So all the types and all the promises and all the prophecies now were fully accomplished in Him. Look what He said in verse 28. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Why He said, "It is finished." After this, look what He said. Jesus knowing. In John 18:1, He says this. In verse 4, look in John 18:4. Now listen to this about what our Lord knew. "Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, 'Whom seek ye?'" Our Lord wasn't caught unaware. He knew everything that was coming upon Him. And when it got down to His last breath, got down to where He's going to die by His own power, He says that knowing all things were now accomplished that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He knew that all things now were accomplished and the Scriptures were what? Fulfilled. Fulfilled. The whole book. The whole book. "I delight to do thy will." It's written that I delight to do it. And He came and did everything that God sent Him to do. The whole book. The law and the prophets. The Psalms. Were all fulfilled in Him and accomplished. From Genesis 3:15, when it says, "He shall be the seed of the woman," until you get all the way to Malachi, where it says, you know, that the messenger of the covenant shall suddenly come to His temple, and that the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Every bit of it was fulfilled and accomplished in him. And he said, it's finished. It is finished. All the types, from the first lamb that was shed, blood was shed, to the red heifer, to the turtle doves, and the hyssop that the blood was dipped in, or the hyssop that was dipped in the blood and sprinkled, from to Solomon's temple, everything was fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Every prophecy, to him all the prophets give, every prophecy was wrought out in our blessed Savior. Now let me propose you a problem. Let me present to you a problem. Let's take this book and let's take Christ away just for a moment. The Old Testament, 66 books. Let's take Christ away for just a moment. And you find the wisest man you can find on the face of the earth, and you give him that book and say, now this is the problem I want you to try to solve here, if you can. Read this book and you construct in your imagination an ideal character who shall fit exactly everything that's said about him, everything that's prophesied about him, everything that's promised of him, and every character and every type and every sacrifice. See if you can find who it is that fits that book. Huh? See if you can find him. Let me show you what I'm talking. This is the problem. Look over in Acts chapter 8. Look over here in Acts chapter 8. Acts is right after the book of John here. Look in Acts chapter 8. Here's a fellow that was faced with that very problem. Here's a man who was faced with that very problem. He was reading the Bible and didn't have an understanding of what it said. It said in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was interested in worship. He is interested in God. He is interested in finding the truth. God was doing something for him. But he was going back home and he read in his chariot Isaiah the prophet. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Holy Ghost told John, Philip said, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And so Philip caught up with that chariot and he got there and he heard him reading. The man was reading out loud and he heard him read. The prophet Isaiah said unto him, do you understand what in the world you're reading? Do you understand? How do any of y'all understand the scriptures when you hear them? And that's what he's asking here. And so he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Somebody's got to tell me what this means. And he said, Philip, come up here and sit with me. Come up here and sit down beside me. And this is the place of the scripture in Isaiah which he read was this. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And like a lamb of dumb before his shearer, so often openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation, he was taken away. Judgment, and in his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now listen to what the eunuch said. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who's this prophet talking about? Who in the world is this prophet talking about? Who's Isaiah talking about? And that's what we said, that's what it means. Well, it is finished. Was Isaiah 53 finished when Christ died on the cross? When he said it is finished? And Philip... Or is he speaking of himself or some other man? Some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same place. And what did he do? He preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are. Take this book. Oh, wise man, take this book. And when you read this book, I want you to remember something. That when you read this book, he must be a prophet. This man that he's talking about, he must be a prophet like Moses and be one to speak to God for the people and come back and speak to God, to the people from God. He must be a prophet like Moses. He must be the captain of the Lord of hosts like Joshua and fight the Lord's battles. He must be Melchizedek, a priest of the Most High God who has no beginning of days and no ending of days, has no descent, and he must be a priest forever after that order. He must be David, who was a shepherd, and also the king after God's own heart. He must be Solomon, who is all wise, and he had Solomon's glory. He must be Noah, whose very name means comforter. And he must be a comforter to his people. He must be the prophet Jonah, who was thrown overboard so somebody else could be saved. And then he must spend 3 days and 3 nights down in the belly. And then when he comes forth, he's got to say, salvation is of the Lord. And he must be the lamb slain and the blood that's applied. He must be the goat on whom the sins are confessed. He must be the scapegoat on whom the fit man takes him into the wilderness and bears the sin away. He must be the turtle dove dipped in blood. And he must be the priest who slew the bird. And he must be the priest who also, beloved, is the altar on whom the blood was plied. And this man, this character that you need to find that'll fit this book. He must also be the altar. He must be the brazen altar on which all the sacrifices were laid and the fire consumed them. He must be the altar of incense, which was a sweet smelling savor that went up to God. He must be the tabernacle where God dwelt with men and men met with God. He must be that tabernacle. And then he must be that mercy seat behind the veil. And it has to be the veil by which the high priest passed behind it. He must be the mercy seat where God meets men, where the law's been fulfilled and the blood's been applied. And then when you go in, he's got to be the light. And then he's got to be that table of showbread that only the priest could eat. Oh my, you reckon he can find out who this fellow is? Who this man is? And all prophecies, not only the types, but all prophecies in these 66 books got to meet in this one man. And though they may contradict, it says, you know, that all nations and all kings and all nations shall serve him. And yet it turns right around and say he's despised and rejected and hated without a cause. He must be born of a virgin and be the seed of the woman. And he must be a man without spot and without blemish. His mind has to be pure. His heart has to be pure. His life has to be pure. In motive and thought, he cannot have a blemish on him anywhere whatsoever. Not a spot. He must be holy and pure, and yet this holy, sinless, pure man, this seed of the woman, God's got to take all the sin of all of his people and put them on that holy man, that sinless man, that pure man. Huh? Oh my, where are you going to find this man at? Where's this man? Can you figure out who this is? He must be a glorious king, like the son of David, and yet be a root out of dry ground. Now, wise man, you've had this book and you've read it. You've read it. Where's the man? What is the key to unlock this book and tell you what it says and who it's talking about and what he would do? Huh? Well, he says there's only one. There's only one key. There's only one man. There's only one person. It has to be the God-man. It has to be the Son of God. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be the cross of Christ. It has to be the Son of God incarnate. You see, beloved, in Him, we see all things accomplished. Accomplished. When our Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," everything is summed up in this God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You take every typical sacrifice of the old Jewish law. How many? The day Solomon was made king, they slew over 20,000 lambs that day. Just that day. Not counting the oxen and the bullocks. Did any of those sacrifices ever put away a sin? Did that Passover lamb that they put the blood on the lintels of the door, and God said, when I see it, I'll pass over you, did that put away sin? No. No. All the typical sacrifices of all the old Jewish law, they're now, every single one of them, abolished. And not only are they abolished, but now they're explained why they were there for. What they accomplished. And what they didn't accomplish. Now they're explained. When he talked about the lamb, we find the lamb over here. We talk about the Thanksgiving offering, we find him here. You talk about the peace offering, we find him here. Talk about the sin offering, we find him over here. And all those are explained. All those are explained. Oh my, they're abolished. They're gone. And they were all finished in him. He was that one sacrifice, the only sacrifice that ever put away sin, and he did that once. Once for all time and for all whom he died. And when he did that, he satisfied God. And not only did he satisfy God, but he satisfied the consciences for all whom he died. The conscience is not looking for nothing else. And like that song they sang, I'm looking for nothing else. I'm looking for nothing else. And oh, you know, when Abraham took Isaac upon that mountain, and he had him strapped to the altar, was fixing to slay him, and then he was going to light the fire. And God stayed his hand. God stayed his hand. You know why that happened? Because Abraham already said, I and the lad are going to go up yonder and worship, and we will return. Because he knew that if he did do that son that way, that God was going to raise him from the dead, and he's going to come off that mountain with that lad. Because all of the promises that God had made Abraham was in the son. And all the promises God makes us is in the Son. Is that not right? And so what happened was, he looked, turned around, there was a ram caught in a thicket. Where'd that ram come from? And that ram was taken. Isaac was taken up, and that ram was put in Isaac's stead. Christ was on the altar. The knife of God's justice is going to pierce us. And the fire's going to consume. The fire's going to destroy. We're going to go to an everlasting fire. And then what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ put in our stead. And God said, let him go free. And we come down off that mountain. And we come down off of Calvary. When we've seen the Lamb slain for us. And the sin put away for us. We come down off that mountain. And beloved, we worship there. And we still worship him. The same God and the same Christ that we came off that mountain. Ain't that right? Oh, my, bless His name. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He entered this man, this our blessed Savior, when He said it is finished. When it got 3 hours of darkness on the earth, there was something took place. Something took place after God forsook Him. It tells us over in Hebrews, it said, He entered not into the holy place made with hands, that tabernacle, or that temple in Jerusalem, behind that veil, he entered not into the holy place made with hands. And he didn't enter into that holy place without with the robes of the high priest clothed upon him in his human flesh. No, no. He went there as the man, Christ Jesus, and as the one whose blood had just been shed. And he entered in there not with the blood of bulls and goats. He entered in with his own blood. I believe in that 3 hour, this is my belief. And you know, if you can prove me wrong, I'd love for you to do it. But he went in there with his own blood. Now it tells us that. When did he go in there with his own blood? He couldn't have went in after his resurrection because he didn't have no blood in his body. He said, see, touch me, feel me, flesh and bones. And so where did he do with that blood? When he was dead already, that soldier pierced his side, and forthwith came blood and water. So there was a time that he entered in once into that holy place, and he put his blood on the altar of God himself. And when he came back out of there, he came back out of there with eternal redemption. Eternal redemption, not just a redemption for just a little while, not just a redemption until we get to glory. It's an eternal redemption. It redeemed us from the foundation of the world to the foundation when we spend eternity with God. It's redemption forever. He paid every debt. The uttermost farthing was paid. He paid every debt. And when he came forth from the presence of God, he said, "It's finished. It's finished. It's finished." If you ever learn it's finished, you'll finish too. You know what you'll finish? You'll finish working. You'll finish fretting. You'll finish trying to find your own way. You'll finish your works. You'll finish everything. You'll finish your own righteousness. You'll say, "It's finished. I'm done with everything but Christ." And oh, listen, our Lord finished this redemption. His perfect obedience is finished when he cried, "It is finished." And listen to me, for sinful man, and that's what we are, sinful man. Whether you know it or not, you're a sinner. And I hope God teaches you that you're a sinner, because only God can do that. But I do know this, for a sinful man to be saved, God's law, ceremonies, and sacrifices must be fulfilled. Must be. Them Ten Commandments, that moral law, must be fulfilled and must be kept. And a man, if he's going to be saved, he has to have a righteousness equal with God's, and he's got to be as good as God. How good you got to be? Good as God. What kind of righteousness you have to have? The righteousness of God. God won't accept any less. He won't do it. Well, guess what? He's got it. We've got it in him. It's finished in him. Our Lord Jesus finished the keeping of the law for us, and you know what he did? Not only did it bring in eternal redemption, but he brought in an everlasting righteousness. Jehovah Sakinu, the Lord, our righteousness. And Romans 10:4 says this, "Christ is the end of the law." For what? Righteousness. For who? For somebody that does something? Somebody that does a work? No. That's why I said he's finished. He did the work. Huh? No, he that believes. And there was, you see, our Lord Jesus Christ, he finished the end of the law for transgressors, for sinners, for lawbreakers. And you know what the end of the law for a transgressor is? Death. And he went all the way to death for us. He became obedient unto death, to death. And he went to the end of the law in three other ways. He went to the end of the law for obedience. He obeyed it. He went to the end of the law and bore its curse. And he went to the end of the law and it's as a covenant. And we're not under it in no way, shape, form, or fashion. I tell you what, if I was trying to be saved by the law, I'd have a nervous breakdown. Couldn't bear the pressure. Couldn't bear the pressure. Couldn't bear it then. Couldn't bear it now. That's why our Lord said, "It's finished." You know, after God, after Christ did this, God can ask no more. Can God ask any more than what His Son did when He said, "It is finished"? Can He ask any more? The law has received its claim, obedience, death, curse, and fulfillment as a covenant. Justice can't ask for another moment's obedience from Him or anyone else for whom he died. It is finished. It's complete. Look over with me in Romans 8. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Look in Romans 8. Look over here in Romans 8. And oh, it's finished. It's complete. Are you saying, "Preacher, there ain't nothing for me to do"? That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. Well, what about my sin? It's put away if you're Christ. You belong to Him. What about law? It's fulfilled. What about God's justice? He satisfied it. What about all the things that's wrong with me? He took care of everything. When he said it's finished, he took care of every thought you ever thought, ever sin you ever sinned, ever impure motive you've ever done. He took care of everything that was against us. Everything. When he said it's finished, everything. You say, boy, I tell you what, you just don't know what I am. Oh, I do too. I know exactly what you are. I got up there at Paul's the other day, and Darwin was there, and Paul was there, and Larry was there, and Bruce Crabtree was there, and I said, I know every one of these fellows. I know everything there is to know about them. You know why? Because they're all just like me. I know everything there is to know about you, as far as God's concerned. Ain't that right? We ain't never going to say what about. People say, well, what about this? There ain't no what abouts. It's finished. What about this and what about that? We ain't worried about what abouts. We're telling what has been done. What is finished. There ain't no what abouts. Oh, look what he said in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son did not spare him. That's what we're talking about now. He's on that cross. He said it's finished. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Well, then since he did that, how shall he not turn around and also freely give us all things? What's all things? All things. All things. That he has, all things he did, all that he is, he gives us all those things. And watch this now. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect then? Law can't. Justice can't. Sin can't. Satan can't. God can't. Listen to what it says. It's God that justified them. Huh? And oh, who in the world is he going to condemn us? Who in the world is going to come and condemn us? You know why nobody's going to condemn us? Because it's Christ that died. And when he died, right before he took his last breath, he said, it's finished. And look what it says now. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, he's risen again. Oh, my goodness, after he said it's finished, you mean he went to the grave and he rose again? Yeah, he rose again. Well, where's he at now? He's at the right hand of God. What's he doing there for us? Making intercession for us. Oh, the other folks' farthing's been paid. Let the debtor go free. The whip of God's law was wore out on the soul of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it cannot never be lifted up against those for whom he suffered. Men die, and then they face the judgment. Our Lord Jesus Christ faced the judgment, and then he died. And let me finish with this. When our Lord Jesus Christ said it is finished, he totally, absolutely abolished and destroyed the enemies of our souls. And you know what the greatest enemy of our soul was? Sin. And he put that away, bore it away. Satan put his foot on his head. And then he put him in chains. Death! You know what he said to death? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And you know who has the keys to it? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said he gave us? Eternal life. Huh? Oh my. No wonder. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. Far better. It's finished. It's complete. It's done. I believe that with all everything, all, every ounce of my being. Not because I'm anything special. You know why I believe? God made me to believe. Grace made me believe. Grace made me to differ. Grace taught me those blessed truths. Our Father, in the blessed, blessed name of Christ our Lord, thank you for your abundant mercy. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the accomplished salvation. Thank you that it's all finished. It's all done. It's complete. It's perfect. And Lord, we'll leave our hands off of it. We'll leave our works off of it. We'll leave our motives off of it. We'll leave our obedience off of it. We'll leave everything that we are, Everything we ever thought we were, we'll leave it off of what we will not add anything to what you did. Nothing. It's finished. Thank you. Bless you. Praise you. Bless this truth to the hearts today by the Holy Spirit, who's the only one that can make it true, make it real, make it effectual. In Christ's blessed name, I bless you. Amen. Amen.